Hi, everybody. This is Ron Alvarez, the founder of IPPIblog.com. Many of you may already know that I started this blog in May 2016, and to date, I've written over 90 posts. In an effort to just give you another way to take in the content that I've written, I'm making this audio version of each post. As we all know, we receive quite a bit of content by listening to it through different technological devices, such as iPhones. I thought it would be helpful for you to have an audio version. I hope you find the audio version of each post useful, and I'm going to get started right now. So this is post number one. It's titled, The Magnitude of IP Theft, the Magnitude of the IP Theft Problem. And this was posted in May 2016. And I wrote this and posted it then. So here we go. The theft of American IP is about much more than the aggregation of big numbers. It's also the collection of individual, sometimes devastating stories of loss. For instance, when the American Superconductor Corporation had its wind energy software code stolen by a major customer in China, it lost not only the customer, but also 90% of its stock value. And the source there is from a Bloomberg Businessweek article published in 2012. And this case, interestingly enough, and I'll give an update in another post, was resolved in favor of the company that was affected, American Superconductor Corporation. In today's technological global marketplace, in which goods and information can be so easily stolen and sold, it's silly to think that efforts to steal any entity's intellectual property will not be explored and at times achieved, and with severe financial and reputational consequences. As well as severe health and safety consequences for consumers who stumble into buying counterfeit goods. The forward-thinking business leaders of today recognize this inevitable reality and adopt strategies to confront it. At the time, Sharon Cripps was Epson's channel marketing manager, and she's quoted as saying, "Manufacturers who think their products are free and clear of this problem are living in a dream world." And I couldn't agree with her more. Since IP is so expansive to include trade secrets, trademarks, designs, copyright, and patents, it is virtually impossible for any company's IP rights to not be at some risk of a breach, regardless of its size. IP is so interrelated that when a breach occurs, often various acquired rights will be violated simultaneously. So here's a way of illustrating that point. For example, if an iPhone or a BlackBerry is counterfeited and or pirated and sold, each phone has, of course, a trademark logo, a legally protected phone design, copyrighted software, patented buttons, and there are protected trade secrets utilized by employees in the phone's construction. Or, for example, when a pharmaceutical company's cancer medication is counterfeited and sold, the brand of the company, the trademark, as well as the contents of the medication, the patent, is violated. Similarly, when a movie studio's film is copied and distributed without legal authority, the subject matter of the film, the copyright, and the title of the film, trademark, is misused. So the magnitude of the problem cannot be overstated. It has prompted some global corporations to establish specialized brand integrity departments, or its equivalent, devoted exclusively to combat the problem of intellectual property misappropriation. Some companies have designated staffers under the brand integrity umbrella to focus on specific strategies, such as law enforcement support, product intelligence, market monitoring, litigation, illegal trade legislation, and enforcement of company and trade policies. So this next subsection is titled U.S. Government Law Enforcement Response, Partnership with the Private Sector. The Obama administration established the first office of the U.S. Intellectual Property Enforcement Coordinator in 2010, commonly referred to as IPEC, I-P-E-C. That's the acronym for that enforcement coordinator position or office, in recognition of the magnitude of the problem. In 2012, the then IPEC coordinator was Victoria Espinal, and she emphasized the incredible range and importance of protecting IP when she said, quote, intellectual property is critical to not only pharmaceuticals and contents producers, but energy producers, internet and technological companies, to manufacturers, to retailers, and to service providers. The future of America's economic condition rests squarely on the shoulders of our ability to protect the American innovator. The innovation driving current growth is built on intellectual property. Absolutely. In the administration's white paper on intellectual property enforcement legislative recommendations published in 2011, it was noted that piracy and counterfeiting in the online environment are significant concerns. They cause economic harm and threaten the health and safety of American consumers. Foreign-based and foreign-controlled websites and web services raise particular concerns. Some consumers, for instance, have at times received drugs online that contain dangerous chemicals or no cancer-fighting chemicals at all, or batteries that explode in a children's toy, if you can believe that. It's really a horrible situation. Or electronics that cause house fires. And obviously the counterfeiters couldn't care less about the impact it has on people. It's all about greed. All right, to continue, the administration acknowledged that the success of combating intellectual property misappropriation would require the commitment of the private sector. At the first White House forum on intellectual property in 2011, Victoria Espinal cited, for example, data from the Alliance for Safe Online Pharmacies, which indicated, and this is really staggering, that of the 30 to 40,000 active online drug sellers, a fraction is operating legitimately, and stressed, quote, effective enforcement begins with effective engagement with the private sector. And a lot of the theme of what I write is driving that point, the importance of government interacting with the private sector and continuing to fight the good fight against counterfeiting and other misappropriation of intellectual property. All right, to continue with the post. And in the key findings section of the 2013 report of the Commission on the Theft of American Intellectual Property, commonly referred to as the IP Commission report, it was noted that the impact of international IP theft on the American economy runs into hundreds of billions of dollars per year. And that's been confirmed, even though this post was written in 2016, every year it's just been increasing. The annual losses are likely to be comparable to the current annual level of U.S. exports to Asia, over $300 billion. The exact figure is unknowable, but private and governmental studies tend to understate the impacts due to inadequacies in data or scope. The members of the commission agree with the assessment by the commander of the United States Cyber Command and director of the National Security Agency, then General Keith Alexander, that the ongoing theft of IP is, quote, the greatest transfer of wealth in history. And that's a pretty powerful statement. And everything that we are experiencing today proves that to be true. America's commitment to vigorous IP enforcement at the homeland was highlighted in the 2013 Joint Strategic Plan on Intellectual Property Enforcement to the President and members of Congress. It was noted that since fiscal year 2009, U.S. law enforcement increased enforcement activity considerably in the fight against infringement. It cited the following: U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, Homeland Security investigators, arrests were up 159%. FBI health and safety arrests were up 286%, and Customs and Border Protection and ICE seizures of infringing products were up 53%. And again, those figures have increased substantially since this post was written in 2016. The strategic plan also identified a number of private sector companies that, quote, voluntarily agreed to adopt best practices aimed at curbing the sale of counterfeit goods and reducing online piracy, essentially encouraging other companies to do the same. And in the 2011 White House forum, then Assistant Attorney General Lanny Breuer drove the point home by saying, "We at the Justice Department, of course, cannot carry out our enforcement mission without input and assistance from the victims of IP crime. We recognize that it is the victims of IP crime who are often in the best position to know when their products are being illegally copied or who can provide invaluable assistance in identifying and distinguishing counterfeits from legitimate goods." And it's great that he acknowledged that then, and that, of course, continues to be true today. IPEC, the Intellectual Property Enforcement Coordinator, is currently developing its 2016 to 2019 Joint Strategic Plan on Intellectual Property Enforcement, and notes that in this year alone, worldwide counterfeit and pirated products is estimated to reach $1.8 trillion at a growing rate of 22% per year, which is really astonishing. So following this post, if you want to see what the citations are, the references, they're at the bottom of the post. Feel free to go to ippiblog.com and you'll be able to see those references. Also included in the post are a couple of short videos that are part of each reference. And I hope you find this audio version helpful. And that's it for now. Signing off, Ron Alvarez here, and I will get back to you with post number 2 very shortly. Thank you.